From 2 Timothy. I'm grateful to God, whom I serve with a good conscience, as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers, day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Bells. That was lovely. And thanks to our kids, too. Well, Eunice didn't set out to raise a pastor. She set out to raise a boy who knew he was loved by God. I imagine her in the gray light of an ordinary morning, moving quietly so as not to wake the whole household. The floor is hard under her feet. The fire is just catching, and yesterday's bread and stew still linger in the air. Her mother, Lois, is already up, working dough for the day's loaves, humming a psalm she learned as a girl. Outside, the town is waking. Animals, carts, traders calling. But inside, they have a small liturgy of their own. Eunice coaxes a sleepy Timothy to the table. Lois pats the bench beside her. We don't know the exact details. We imagine a scene that fits with what we do know about first century Christian households. Women managed the home, practiced hospitality, and helped form children's faith through daily routines. They carried scripture in their memories. So as they knead and stir and pour, they tell the stories again. They tell of Abraham and Sarah setting out not knowing where they were going. They tell of Miriam dancing on the far side of the parted Red Sea. They tell of Hannah whispering her prayer in the temple, praying for a child. Notice, I imagine Lois saying, how God listens to women other people think are not important. Timothy fidgets and then asks questions children always ask. Why did God pick Abraham? Was Miriam scared? Does God still hear us when we whisper? They answer as best they can, with more stories and their own wonderings. Later, when other believers gather in a home to pray and break bread, Eunice and Lois are there too. They offer hospitality, they help prepare a meal, they join their prayers and the songs. They sit with those who are grieving or in pain, and they listen. Timothy takes all of this in. He watches them. This is what church looks like to Timothy before he ever meets the Apostle Paul, who is known to his mother and grandmother as a missionary and a shaper of the early church. To Timothy, church was older and younger women leading in their spaces of influence, the home, the table, the gathered community, teaching scripture with their words and their lives. Years later, when Paul is writing this letter to Timothy near the end of his life, he calls out Timothy's sincere faith and traces it back through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. That's the faith we've just imagined. Faith grown in the midst of ordinary days. By the time the wider church later recognizes Timothy's gifts and lays hands on him, none of that comes out of nowhere. It has been quietly forming in him for many years through the everyday leadership of two women. Long before anyone called Timothy a leader, Lois and Eunice had been mothering a prophet. And that's where I want to start on this Mother's Day, in that imagined kitchen with those mothering prophets. Chances are most of us didn't come to faith in a single lightning bolt, but we grew into it the way Timothy did, by watching someone or a group of someone's live it over and over until it gets under our skin or finally clicks. Some of those people are mothers and grandmothers. Some are teachers and neighbors, aunties by blood and aunties by choice. Some are pastors, some are Sunday school teachers and confirmation mentors. Some don't identify with the word mother at all, but their lives are still profoundly mothering. They are mothering prophets, people whose way of loving and mentoring and lures courage and compassion into other people. And underneath and beyond all of them is the first mothering prophet, God. The God Scripture likens to a woman in labor, to a mother who cannot forget the child at her breast, to a mother hen gathering her chicks, the one who says through the prophet Isaiah, "As the mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." God carries us, feeds us, teaches us to walk. Our human mothering prophets, women and men, trans and non-binary folks, parents and non-parents, are echoes of that deeper divine mothering that is always trying to bring life, courage, and compassion to birth in us. So let's hold Lois and Eunice for a moment and widen the lens. Now, I know some of us didn't have a Lois and a Eunice at home. Some did. Some lost their mothers. Some live with mothers who were absent or harmful. Some of us are the first generation in our family even to want a life of faith. If we limit faith for mothers to biology, we miss how stubbornly creative the spirit is. When I look back on the mothering prophets in my life, I think of women in the church kitchen making Wednesday night dinners when I was a teenager. I would often join them after I was done with school, hoping to take on the important task of frosting the banana bars, while I watched them welcome people without fuss and live out hospitality, service, and care. That was mothering. That was prophetic. I also think of many pastoral mentors along the way. Women like Pat Hinker, who once pastored this church. Women who preached when some were not sure that women should preach. Who sat at tables where women hadn't been welcomed. And who showed me what it looks like to claim a call, even when the institution is still catching up. They mothered me into ministry. This past week, the United Methodist Church marked 70 years since the 1956 General Conference vote that finally gave women full clergy rights in the Methodist Church. Before that, women were already preaching and pastoring, but without equal standing, security, or a vote. The church didn't create their calling in 1956. It finally recognized what the Spirit had been doing all along. That decision matters for many of us today because our faith has been shaped by women pastors who baptized us, who cared for us, who sat with us in the hospital, buried our loved ones, and preached good news. It simply says out loud what Paul hints at when he names Lois and Eunice. Women have always been central to the story of faith. The institution often catches up late, but the Spirit never waits for permission. So, who are your Lois and Eunice? Who mothered courage and compassion into you by birth, by baptism, by friendship, by vocation? Hold their names for a moment. Maybe tell their story to someone today. Unfortunately, we know that globally, the picture for women is still grim. A 2026 United Nations report warns that women hold only about 64% of the legal rights that men hold across the world. Discriminatory laws remain in most countries, and there is an increasingly organized pushback against gender equality, including efforts to roll back protections around education, political participation, safety, and bodily autonomy. The attacks are even worse when it comes to trans and non-binary people. If we believe that every person is made in God's image, that is not just a political problem. It is a theological crisis. It is an attack on God's daughters, on all God's children, and on the image of God that they bear. And yet, somehow, some way, women keep mothering prophets into the world. And they are not the only ones. Judges and lawyers of all genders work for laws that protect people. Doctors and nurses fight for basic health care. Social workers and teachers keep children, especially girls, in school. Mothers and grandmothers, fathers and grandfathers, friends and neighbors encourage young people to follow their hearts. In homes and refugee camps and city streets, people of every gender tell kids, "You are not less. Your body and your soul are sacred." That is mothering prophetic courage and compassion in the face of serious resistance. So when Paul tells Timothy that the Spirit God gives is not timid, but powerful, loving, and self-disciplined, I hear that as a word for us too. For every woman told, "Be quiet, be small." For every girl learning to shrink to fit, that timid spirit is not from God. The mothering God who gathers us like a hen gathers her brood gives a spirit of power, resurrection power, not domination. A spirit of love, fierce, protective, justice-seeking love. A spirit of self-discipline, the grounded courage to keep showing up even when the cost is high. So, what does that mean for us here? First, for those of you who mother in any form, no matter your gender or biological role, the ordinary work you do is not just parenting or just volunteering. When you teach a child about faith, when you model an apology, when you teach them how to welcome others, when you show them how to stand up for someone else, you are doing prophetic work. You are mothering courage and compassion. You don't have to be perfect. Lois and Eunice weren't. Your kids, your students, your neighbors do not need a flawless mothering prophet. They need a sincere one. Second, for all of us who have been mothered in the faith, who have been nurtured in compassion and love, first, I invite you to bring those mothering prophets to mind once again. Maybe some are no longer living or no longer actively a part of your life, but you still hold their legacy in your heart. The best way to thank our mothering prophets is to live what they gave us. If a grandmother taught you generosity, practice generosity. If a teacher taught you to question injustice, question it. If a cook or a baker taught you hospitality, set another place at the table. If a gardener taught you to plant and grow, tend to creation. Tell their stories, say their names, put them in our communal memory, the way 2 Timothy puts Lois and Eunice into the church's memory. And finally, a call, an invitation. Some of you are being nudged to become a Lois or Eunice for someone else. Not because you have it all together, but because you have something real to offer. A listening ear, a safe kitchen, a wise question, a gentle word of truth, a ride, a prayer. Who is God inviting you to mother in the way of compassion and courage? A kid, a teenager, a young adult away from home, a neighbor on the margins, an older person who needs someone to sit and listen. In a world that disciples fear and cynicism, we desperately need people who will disciple others into courage and compassion. As Paul reminds Timothy, the spirit we've been given is not timid, but powerful and loving. You know how to do this because someone did it for you. That is prophetic work. That is mothering. That is sharing in the labor and the ministry of God who mothers us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea. I'll sail the world to find you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, I'll be the line to guide you. Find out. Called to help our friends in need. Well, you can count on me like 1, 2, 3, and I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, yeah. If you're tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you, whoa. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. And you can count on me like 1, 2, 3, and I'll be there. And I know need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
Thank you, Micah and Brian. Friends, as we come to this time in our service, we look ahead to how we are being called to live our prophetic witness in the world, and we are invited to think of how we share our gifts with this world. One of the ways we do that at Hamlin Church is through the sharing of our financial offering. And I want to invite you to give as you are able to support the ministry of this church within and outside of these walls. You can give in four ways, but online at hamlinchurch.org/give. You can give by sending a check in the mail, by text, or in the offering boxes on your way out as you go today. Thank you for your support. Just a couple of notes about some really exciting things coming up in the next week. We want to invite you to join us next Saturday. There's several things happening right here in the neighborhood. We have a bread and prayer retreat led by Bryce and Jody Johnson to bring in the contemplative practices around bread making. And it's going to be out with our brick oven, of course, and mixing in some time for silence and meditation and a good way to be in community together and break bread and connect with each other. And there's still a couple of spots left, and you can sign up online for that. Also, next Saturday at Hamlin Elementary School and Hancock Rec Center, hosting the Mighty Midway Festival, a great opportunity to gather with neighbors from 1 to 4, and Hamlin Church will have a little booth there and with some activities for kids. If you can help out with that for a couple of hours, we'd love to have you, and you can sign up online at Sign Up Central for that as well. And next Saturday morning, we'll also be planting the garden, so a big day all ongoing, and we welcome volunteers to join us for that at 9 a.m. as well. All right, friends, let us join in our final hymn together. A choir has shown up in the midst of my speaking to help lead us.
Yes. So this song is a call and response song, and I'll kind of do the calling, and I've invited some of the members from the choir who are technically off this week, so they deserve a big kudos for being here, and they're going to sing your part, so I'll cue you in to come in, but if you'll stand and join me as you're able, that'd be great. Let's take it away.
Up this morning in my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning in my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning in my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. Can't hit your neighbor in your mind.
Amen, amen. Friends, thank you for your presence here this day. Thank you to all of our musicians and our worship volunteers and our worship tech team and our coffee hour crew for helping bring worship together. We invite you now to join us downstairs for a time of coffee and connection and refreshments, of course. And we look forward to seeing you back next week as we continue our Prophets Among Us series with a very special guest preacher, Obi Ballinger, who will be here, who is the director of PRISM Organizing. So friends, go from this place and hold in your heart those mothering prophets, those people who have shaped you and formed you and nurtured you to live in this world with care and compassion and courage. And think about how it is that you too are making an impact on those who come behind you to help them lift up a world full of God's love. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.